Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Well, let's talk today about trust. To me, it's where the rubber meets the road. It is that one element that so many believers miss. And in my opinion, it might be the hardest thing you ever do, especially when times are very difficult. Do I trust the Lord in this? Do I trust the Lord in what I'm going through? I'm not saying that he did it. You know, we bring things on ourselves and then blame God. And we talked about all of that in the first volume. So we're not talking about the source of this or who is responsible. But no matter what I'm going through or what position am I in, can I trust the Lord in this situation that I'm in? When a word is ministered on faith, and I love to minister faith, I love teaching faith, and it excites me to minister on faith, and it excites me to hear a word on faith. But because faith is coupled with hope, and hope is that expectation. It's that dream and that vision for the future. A message of faith can ignite you. A message of faith can excite you. A message of faith can generate passion to believe God again and to stand in the hope of his word. And so a message of faith is one that resonates. It's easy to receive. We've all been called to live by faith. So I feel like we just, you know, rise to the faith message, the message of faith. And we've talked a lot about faith in this series. Trust, on the other hand, in my opinion, based on what I've seen in the Word and what I'll share today, is that next step. It's that next step from faith. It's that I trust God. And what does that look like to say that I trust the Lord? And the reason I contrast faith and trust is because sometimes a message on trust is not as easily to receive, even if it's somebody you love saying, hey, you just got to trust God in this. We hear that and we might say, okay, yeah, that's true. I got to trust God in this. But it's not necessarily something that we get excited about. If we're honest, when somebody has told you, hey, you just need to trust God in this, you probably didn't get really excited because you might not even wanted to hear that. Like, I know I need to trust the Lord in this, but I need some understanding. I need something that excites me. I need some hope. So it's not always received with, ooh, thank you for that. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. No, I don't think it always gets that response. And so I'm not expecting you guys, you know, to stand up and shout and point at me and say, you better preach and wave your Bible. I don't expect none of that. If it happens, you know, it happens. But I don't think we're going to get that radical today because trust makes us search inwardly and say, okay, do I trust the Lord? Because life is going to throw things at us that we do not understand. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 says this. And I know you're going to Isaiah 26, but let me just tell you something that Isaiah 55, 8 says. Isaiah 55, 8 says that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts higher than ours. So God is saying in his word that he thinks higher than we think, and his ways are higher than our ways. So what bridges the gap between the way God is seeing a thing and the way I'm seeing it? The way God thinks about it and the way I'm thinking about it. God's ways in this and my ways in this. What bridges the gap between, Lord, I don't get this. I don't understand this. I thought it would have looked different by now. I heard the word. I wrote the word. I stood in faith. I read a prayer book and prayed it perfectly. I have done all that my teachers have told me to do, and you still have not moved, I don't feel like this thing is looking like what it was supposed to look like when I came to you in faith. God, my life just does not look like what I thought it would have looked like. How do you bridge that gap between God's thoughts and God's ways versus where we are in our thoughts and our ways? Church, the thing that bridges the gap is trust. See how quiet you are? What'd I tell you? Trust says, okay, Lord, I may not understand this. I can't figure this out. It doesn't look like I thought it would have looked like, but in this, yet, I will trust you. Now, I don't expect you to say amen or even get this right now, because any topic, you know, in the Word, for any topic in the Word to generate faith, we have to hear about it. So Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't have faith in trusting God until you have heard what God has to say about trusting Him, right? So we need this message because we all need to trust the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, trust the Lord. Now go with me to Isaiah chapter number 26. Isaiah 26, and we'll look at it in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And Lord, we need that. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why is his mind stayed on thee? Because he trusteth in thee. So whose mind is kept in perfect peace? The mind that stays on the Lord because he trusts in the Lord. Now, the Old Testament definition of the word trust, according to a Strong's Concordance, is to be confident, secure, bold, sure, and careless. Careless. Not careless like I don't care anymore. Careless in that I'm not going to be burdened and filled with care over this because I trust God. I'm not going to have anxiety over this because I trust the Lord. Now think real quickly, if you had any kind of, you know, Christian influence in your life, think about your mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. Think about somebody in your life that you knew trusted God, and think about the peace that they had. You know, for me, it was both of my grandmothers, mama's side, daddy's side, man, they both just were always reading their Bible. I never saw anxiety in their lives about anything. I can just imagine in my mind's eye, my grandmother on either side, sitting in the living room in their rocking chair, and a tornado warning be out. And everybody's in the bathtub covering up with a mattress. And we run in there and say, grandmother, grandmother, you got to come get in the tub. There's a tornado warning out. And I can just see grandmother saying, oh, the Lord has got this. His favor compasses us like a shield. I'm not worried. She'd be reading her Bible. Like, grandma, you better get in this tub and get on this mattress. The tornado's coming. And I can just see my grandmother operating in perfect peace, not worrying about it, not even being moved by it, just in peace, not allowing anxiety to take over her. And I'm not telling you that she shouldn't have got in the tub and under the mattress in a tornado. I'm just saying, think about the person that has such a walk with God and such a confidence in God that you can't get them worried. You can't get them frustrated. You can't get them anxious. Is there been anybody in your life that you can look at and say, now I know that person right there trusted God. No matter how bad the report was, no matter how negative it was, no matter what news came in through the television or a phone call or what they heard, they were just unfazed. They had complete confidence that God's word would come to pass. That's trust. Radical trust. Now, in the New Testament, the word trust in Greek is translated confidence. Confidence. It is an anticipation and an expectation that I have such trust in God. My anticipation and my expectation is in Him. I love the 1828 original Webster's Dictionary. You can actually download the app in the App Store. It's the 1828 original dictionary, where the original dictionary actually had scripture next to words to help you define the word using the Bible. That's the way Webster started it all. Now, but so let me give you what that definition is. That definition is confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle found in another. So I'm in confidence of God. I trust God. I trust his word. I trust his integrity. I may not understand what's going on or how he might be working, but I trust that he is. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3 and look at a familiar verse. As it comes, or as it, when it comes to trusting God, go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And throughout this message, you know, write these scriptures down, challenge yourself. Do I really trust God? Because trust is what bridges the gap between what God sees and what I'm seeing. God's ways and my ways. The only way you bridge that gap is, Lord, I don't understand this, but I trust you. Now, some of us are bad about becoming an investigator. And so we stay up all night and we wear out Google and we're all over the Bible and we've been, you know, taking recordings of people when they were talking. Would you say that again? And we got video recording of it. And, you know, we're going back all in the night and we're just dissecting every piece of evidence because we got to figure out what's going on in our lives. Listen, sometimes you can do all that investigating and you still can't figure out what's going on. You just got at the end of the day say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust your word in this one because I'm trying to gain all this knowledge so that I can wrap my head around why this is happening in my life. And God is saying, you're not big enough to wrap your head around this. And I'm not going to let you wrap your head around this because if you understood all aspects of this, if you could comprehend all facets of this, it would not require that you trust me. Did that make sense? Now watch this in Proverbs 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now what does that look like? Read the rest. And lean not. So complete trust in God says there's going to be aspects to this that I don't understand. There are some things about this that I don't understand, but that's where my trust comes in. I have to trust God in this because there are things I cannot wrap my head around that are taking place in my life right now. Does that make sense? All right, go with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And we'll start in verse number 5. Verse number 5. Just wait till we get to verse 8. This is a neat verse in Scripture that really, to me, explains trust. All right, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. You there, say amen. Amen. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So don't be adding stuff God didn't say. Verse 7, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. The wisest man outside of Jesus ever to walk the planet said, I need these two things before I die. All right then, what are they? Here we go. It's not going to excite you, but it's good. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, isn't that interesting? Wisest man ever lived by God's Spirit and said, Lord, don't give me riches or poverty. Let's see why. Y'all aren't moved by that. You're like, what? I want you to watch this next statement in verse 8. Read it with me out loud. Feed me with food convenient for me. Let's read it again. Feed me with food convenient for me. He said, Lord, I'm not asking for riches, and I don't want to be broke. That second one you ought to be able to say amen to. All right. Now, watch what he says in verse 9. Here's the reason behind it. Lest I be full or so rich that I deny thee and say, who is the Lord? So now both terms are relative. And when I say relative, you might think you're broke until you see somebody broker. You might think you're rich until you see somebody much richer. So they're both relative terms, you understand? The poorest here in our area might look rich in comparison to somebody living in, you know, in Guatemala. All right, so you are somewhere down the street. So they're relative terms. But look at what he's saying here. It's so important. He said, Lord, give me the food that is convenient for me. Don't let me get so rich that my riches get me out of your word, that my riches get me out of prayer, that my riches make me forget who you are. So, Lord, I can't be that rich that it would make me forget you. But, Lord, don't let me get so broke that I'm so poor that I steal and take the name of my God in vain. Do you see that? So he's saying, Lord, you know how much I can prosper, that I still will stay faithful to you. You know how low I can go, that I still won't resort to stealing or blaspheming your name. What's he saying? He's saying, God, I trust you. I trust that you give me the food that's best for me. You give me the life that's best for me and best for my total life prosperity. That's your mind, your body, that's your spirit, that's your marriage, that's your family. He's saying, God, I just trust you. I might want this, but you know that that would ruin me. Now, let me give you an example of this, and every parent can relate to this. Our kids are gonna always want things, the best, the newest, whatever's available. And we as parents have this desire to give good gifts, right? But a wise parent knows what's the best gift for their child. And so I can't give you something that you might want, but the Lord has shown me that's not what's best for you. So the parents or the children have to have a trust that the parents who love them are doing what's best for them, even if it doesn't look like what they think it ought to look like. Chris and I are of the conviction that, okay, we've got four children. They're growing differently, they're learning differently, they're maturing differently. They're not gonna all be on the same exact level at the same exact age, so we have to respond to maturity level, responsibility level. We have to respond to a lot of things, so we're not gonna get caught in this cookie cutter that this is gonna happen when you turn 16. This is gonna happen when you turn 13. This is gonna happen when you turn 18. We're not gonna get caught up in that. We're gonna respond and pour into our children and give our kids what's best for them at that season in their life. Why would I put something in their life that would only destroy them? Now, as a parent, you can say amen to that and have understanding, right? Don't you know God is the same way? Not the same way. Don't you know God takes that to another level that you're looking and you're saying, Lord, I thought it would have looked like this. And God is saying, no, I've got to give you the food that's convenient for you now. You might have thought you needed this now, but that would have ruined you now. I've got to have you right here now, because if I put you right here now, it's going to equip you for what I want to do with you later in life. There has to come a time when you trust God wherever you are. It doesn't mean that you're satisfied where you are. It doesn't mean that you're going to stay where you are. It just means that, Lord, I trust you in this. Give me the food convenient for me. That's a good word right there. We could go home on that word right there, but we're not, because I got more I want to show you. Now, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22 real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 22. So say it out loud. Lord, give me the food convenient for me. You said it. Now go with me to 2 Samuel. Well, Pastor, I was just repeating after you. I know, but I just wanted you to say it. Because God doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we can manage. All right, watch this in 2 Samuel 22. We'll look at it in verse 3. We'll start in verse 2. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." So I'm putting my trust in my rock, my God. Verse 4, "I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies." Drop way down to verse 31. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried," or it's been tested. "And he is a buckler to all them that," what? "Trust in him." Do I trust the Lord? Let me give you some verses for your notes. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." Psalms 5, verse 11 says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." Go with me to Psalms 56. Psalms 56. Trust. Where's your trust level? And listen, if you're here today or you're watching this live feed and you're saying, I don't know. I don't know if my that could be what I'm missing is I don't trust the Lord. Well, that's why he brought this word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there is a response to trust. It's why I'm reading all these verses. I'm wanting you to see that God responds to us when we demonstrate that we trust him. And we can't demonstrate our trust in him till we're put in a situation that we can't figure out. If you had the power to get yourself out of this, you wouldn't need God. Now watch this in Psalms 62, or 56. Either one will work. We're going to read both. So let's start in chapter 56, Psalms, and we'll look at it in verse 3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." If I were to subtitle today's message, and I'm not good at titling messages and series, I let other folk do that. I say, let me preach it, and you put a title on it. But if I had to subtitle this message, it would be trust in the presence of fear. Trust in the presence of fear. When I'm faced with fear, do I trust God? Can I trust God in this situation? Let's read verses 3 and 4 out loud together. Ready? Read. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, as the kids would say. Man, they got right there, and the king threatened them, and they were going to be put in the fiery furnace unless they bowed down. And they said, let me just tell you that if you throw us in that furnace, our God is able to deliver us out of that furnace. But even if he did not deliver us out of that furnace, either way, you're not going to get what you want because we're not going to bow down and worship your image. Trust says, God has my back. But either way, I'm not leaving this spot of praise and commitment and worship, that I will not deny who he is. I will not deny my faith. I will not be moved in my belief and my worship of Jesus. No matter what may happen, I trust the Lord in this. Trust. Come over to Psalm 62. And here's what I found about trust. Is you don't have it without relationship. Strangers don't just walk up to you and you trust them. You don't just leave your kids with anybody. You shouldn't just leave your kids with anybody. Why? Because that's your greatest asset, so you got to put them in the hands of someone you trust. So you don't have trust till you have relationship. And maybe right now, you know, what's missing in your life in that you don't feel like you really trust God is that the relationship with God. There has to be a relationship where you're in his worship, you're in prayer, you're in his word, you walk with him. That you can't have trust in a God you don't even know him. Trust comes through a relationship. Trust comes through transparency. If the Lord didn't tell us in his word that we'd have troubles, if he told us in his word we'd never have trouble, and then we got into trouble, we could say, wait a minute, well, how can I trust you when you said I'd never have a bad day in my life? And that's what's wrong with preaching an itching ear gospel that happens in many places where the only thing that's ever said from the full pulpit is something that tickles the ear and pleases the ear and makes people think they'll never have a bad day in their life. But when you tell that message, you're not being transparent about the truth of God's word. That in this world, we are going to have tribulation. There will be times we don't understand. There will be days we can't figure out. There will be moments where we will be persecuted. When you look at the truth of God's word, you say, wow, Lord, you have been honest with me about everything. And transparency breeds trust.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.